Hi guys, I'm Viola Benson. Welcome to another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy with me on every Thursday, the best podcast when it comes to self-love, self-healing, relationships, dating, and anything you want to talk about, I'm here for it. So today it's another solo episode that I have with you guys, and I also have a producer on today. His name is Kevin. Say hello.
Hey guys.
So he's kind of gonna be helping me out today on the solo episode. But anyway, today's episode is a little bit different than my normal solo episodes. Normally, I have a specific subject, and this time I decide to kind of do more of a Q&A. Because to be honest, I feel a little bit emotionally and mentally drained from doing like a bunch of super sad episodes, because it does take a toll on me every time. I'm like crying and I'm like just so exhausted from crying. So I was like, you know what, let's make this episode about being like a badass bitch and let's try not to cry. I mean, if you want to cry, good for you, but I'm just trying not to cry today. So that's why I kind of wanted to like change it up and make this a Q&A, and I'm gonna answer some of your questions about dating and life and things like that. Anyway, guys, so also first, I really want to explain something really quick, because I have noticed that I get emotional on a lot of my episodes. So I realize that I'm the type of person that actually doesn't open up to any of my friends, and I kind of just hold everything in. So because when I have guests on my podcast is the one time I finally almost have to be vulnerable in order to make my guests vulnerable. So I've noticed my podcast has become like my own therapy session. And that's why when you guys suddenly see me react or get emotional or I'm confused about some relationship, it's literally me for the first time talking about it. And that's why you get the natural reaction of me trying to process information. So that's kind of where it's coming from. I mean, I love it, but it's also, I had to clarify that. And In the last episode, this episode, and the next episode you'll be hearing, I wanted to quickly let you know the order. If you really pay attention to the episodes, you'll notice that suddenly I was maybe talking to a boy. So I just wanted to correct the order, because my episodes are not in the correct order. So the correct order of what's happening with the boy I was talking is basically next week's episode will be technically the first episode you should listen to. Then last week's episode should be the second episode you should listen to. And then this week's episode is technically the third episode you should listen to, of where I'm completely over it. So it starts from me questioning it, realizing he's not my person, to being over it. So if you were trying to follow it, I just had to explain it. All right, now that I full on explain all that, I wanted to kind of get into answering some of your questions.
Awesome. The first question that we have is, how can I move on from my ex when I'm still in love with him, but he likes another girl?
Wow, that's a terrible, shitty feeling. So, okay, one thing that I always do when I'm trying to get over someone is, I swear to God, it works for me. I take a screenshot of, I look through my ex's pictures of the guy I was dating. I look through his pictures. I find the ugliest pictures. I take a screenshot of it, and I constantly look in my phone at that picture every time I'm fantasizing or thinking about this person. That, like, in a weird way really helps me. But you have to find like the ugliest one. And if it's still like endearing to you, because you still adore everything about them at this point. I guess the other thing that I would do is, you have to stop stalking them. I notice that my mood is always so much better when I don't stalk them. And whenever I stalk them is when I start romanticizing things. So that's my way of kind of helping myself get over something. Oh, and not compare myself to the other girl, because I think a lot of times what we do is we start comparing ourselves to the other girl, and then we're like, well, I bet if I was like this, or if I was like that, then this person will still love me. It's like, no, it just means that you guys fell out of love for a reason. And and the way I look at it every time now, when it doesn't work out with someone, I just look at it like, okay, good, that person did me a favor by leaving and finding someone else, or not trying as hard as me, because they're giving me now space to find my right person. And it's like, why would you even want someone that doesn't want you? Like, how can you even sit there and want someone that wants someone else? Like, that would break my heart. Like, why would I want to do that to myself? And I even noticed that one of my friends, she's been on and off with this guy literally now feels like 2 years maybe.
Wow.
And every time it's the same reasoning of why he can't be with her. And every time she goes through the whole roller coaster, okay, whatever, we're done. Then they become friends again. And she's just like, no, we're friends. Like, I swear it's gonna, like, I'm not gonna catch feelings. Yeah. And then they start sleeping together. She catches feelings and he gives her the same excuse. And then you're always that friend that you look from the outside and you're like, what a dumb bitch. I would never do that. And then you're like, holy shit, I'm also that dumb bitch. Yeah. I'm probably in the same situation thinking I'm special. Mm-hmm. My situation is different. She's a dumbass, but like my situation is different. And it's like, no, my situation is probably the same thing.
Exactly.
What my sister told me before is that, and it's so true, and I applied it to my recent roller coaster, is that the best definition of a relationship is, the best word to define a good relationship is simple. So if it's not simple, then it ain't it.
Yeah, like it shouldn't be so complicated.
Exactly, you know? Especially in the beginning or whatever, or even in the middle. My mom even told me before that all the period of dating is your honeymoon stage. Mm-hmm. The time that actually gets hard is after marriage, because then you have to deal with like the bills, living together, the children, all that. Like that's the hard part. So your whole dating stage is a honeymoon stage, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to be simple. And like another advice that I have when it comes to dating is that dating is like tango, a dance.
Ooh, I like that metaphor.
Thank you. So dating is like a dance, a tango dance. And you can't be taking all the steps in that dance. Like your partner has to be taking steps too. So you take a step forward and then they take a step forward. And that's how you can dance properly and to the rhythm. Mm-hmm. So if you start finding yourself after a while that you're making all the steps, like stop yourself and realize that it's not working. And I feel like a lot of times when men, I feel like that they do the laziest way to break up with someone, they get you to think you broke up with them. Because what they start to do is they just completely give up on the relationship. They're super lazy because they don't want to go through like quote unquote hurting you.
Yeah.
Because they think they're saving you, but they're not. They're just being really passive about it. And they just completely give up on the relationship, hoping that you'll break up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you break up with them thinking like, oh, I had to dump him, blah, blah. It's like, no, bitch, he dumped you months ago when he gave up on your relationship.
Correct. It's not like he's taking responsibility and actually manning up and saying that this is over or I'm ready to move on.
Yeah. And a way that's for some reason helps me get over guys faster now is that I just think about it like, how could I miss someone that it was so easy for them to let me go and to like watch me walk away? Like, how could I miss someone like that? Because I always give it my best and like I always try really hard and I never look back and regret saying something or trying or whatever. Like I will put myself out there and I'm okay with getting my heart broken because then I know at least I tried and then I can walk away from the situation. But then I will look back at it and I will remember that person did not fight for me, because I always fight for every partner. If I love someone or I think I love them, like I'll fight for them every day, any day. And when someone doesn't fight back for me, it like breaks my heart, but it also helps me get over them, because it's like, why would I be sad when you're the one that lost me?
Yeah.
I would have fought for you. So Amen. You lost someone great.
Yep. They really did lose someone that, going back to like your tango reference, they're not keeping up with you.
Exactly.
You know, like if you're going to take a step forward, you have to, like, it would be nice if you could match. You know, if I'm going to lead, I would love for you to come along with me and vice versa, you know?
Exactly. And with the right person, you will be going at the same pace and the tango will be super easy.
Yeah.
It wouldn't
and
be
fun.
And fun. Even if you don't know how to dance, he'll teach you.
Yeah.
Vice versa, you know? You got to have two people that want the relationship. It can't just be you.
Yes. It has to be a common goal, like a common achievement that both of you are working towards.
Yeah. Sometimes I get so caught up in my fantasy of someone that, that like I don't even realize that we're not on the same page, because it's like I want us to fall in love so bad that I don't even realize I'm the only one standing there looking for that love and they're like not next to me.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just forget about the other person's needs or
totally.
You're too blurry
yes.
to even see that person's completely not on the same page.
Exactly. The idea of the relationship is so enticing and so something that you want so bad that when you don't communicate with them,
exactly.
it's like, what happened, bro?
The biggest mistake a lot of us do is that we fall in love with someone's potential and it's hard for us to let them go. But the truth is that that's like the most dangerous thing you can ever do, is to fall in love with someone's potential. Because you will be disappointed and you will fall in love with the idea of love and the potential of someone, and that is not who they are.
Oh my God, you are speaking to my heart right now.
Thank you. I'm speaking to my own
heart. Yes, yes. The next question is, how to get over a heartbreak?
Okay, so I think the saying is to get over someone is to get it under someone else. And everyone always says, in order for you to fully move on from someone mm-hmm. is in order for you to fully fall out of love with someone is to fall in love with someone else. And I agree with it in some way and disagree with it in another way. And I just realized this recently is that the saying has been completely wrong this whole time. And we all are looking at it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. In order to fall out of love with someone, you don't need to fall in love with someone else because all of the issues that you've had within yourself are not going to go anywhere. And I've noticed this really recently with the last guy is that in order for me to completely fall out of love with him, what I did was I fell in love with myself.
Ooh.
Exactly. And I think that's where we should be taking from that sentence. Yes. Don't fall in love with another person and bring your baggage with you. Fall in love with yourself because I know I'm not the only one that completely loses herself in when I'm dating someone. And when you can't make something work, it like takes a toll on you. I feel like it takes a toll on me at least. And I lose myself and I get confused. I'm not really sure who I am. I forget all my positive traits because I'm looking at it, especially, I don't know if everyone's like this, but at least women, we blame ourselves in the end of relationships. Research mm-hmm. found that women always say it's our fault and men always, in straight relationships, men always think like, well, she did this and this and this. So this last time where it stopped working for me with this guy, I completely don't blame myself. I'm like, yeah. I tried. It's his Good. Fault, not mine. Good. And it's because I learned again I fell back in love with myself because I forgot for a second how to love myself because I was so sucked in trying to make something work. And I was completely miserable a lot of the time trying to make someone else happy. And I forgot all my good qualities. I forgot that I can be funny and I can be quirky and I'm loving. I forgot all those qualities because I started to feel insecure about myself. And the way I fell back in love with myself was just kind of noticing, having mm-hmm. moments where I noticed myself, whether I was texting someone and I made a joke and then I look at that joke and I'm like, I'm funny, or just looking myself in the mirror and saying positive things to myself. I was literally this whole week and last week just falling back in love with myself and remembering how amazing I am. And then suddenly it's the weirdest thing. Like the way I knew I was fully over a heartbreak is that it's going to sound cliche, but song lyrics no longer had a meaning to them.
Ooh.
When I was still listening to sad songs, I could feel all the words and I could feel all the lyrics and I felt it and I felt the pain and I was crying. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like this one night, all the song lyrics just didn't make sense to me anymore. Didn't mean anything. Like I didn't feel it anymore. Yeah. And then I was like, holy shit, I just got over this person without realizing.
Yeah.
And I got over this person way faster than my normal time mm-hmm. because I fell back in love with myself. So I was just like, why am I fighting for someone that doesn't love me? Like, mm-hmm. you don't want to love me. That's fine. Like I fucking love myself. Like yes. that's good enough for me.
Yes. Would you say it was a process until you finally had that moment where you realized, oh, this is over. It's time to really love myself.
I think the process was where I kept fighting for this person. So I was slowly was already, my heart was distancing myself from him.
Gotcha.
So it wasn't kind of immediate where it came out of nowhere.
Okay.
I think maybe I saw it coming, but I was in denial because I kept wanting to fight for it because that's our human nature to want to make something work.
Yeah.
But then towards the end, I was kind of like, okay, that's fine. No, like I did my best. You don't think like you don't want to do this. That's fine. And I'm not going to be someone to beg someone to be with me because that's not the type of love I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to attract the type of love I'm looking for if I project a different type of love.
Yes.
So I was just like his loss, you know, and the process, I literally got over in a few days, which made me worried. I questioned mm-hmm. myself because then I was like, did I love this person then? Or did I really feel so strongly if I could just completely get over it in a few days? It's not, especially me being such a romantic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it just has to do with self-love. Like I think when, as you get older, you really know what you deserve. Mm-hmm. And as much as you want to like love someone, if they can't give you the love you want, like bye.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, but I do know in that moment when I felt like it was love or felt like it could be love, I felt it.
Yeah.
And I was feeling guilty. Like after the songs, the love songs didn't make sense to me, I felt mm-hmm. I felt guilty that I'm not crying over him longer.
Because
gotcha. I only cried over him for like a day, maybe two. Because mm-hmm. I did feel like he could have been my person that moment. I always, before something's over, mm-hmm. I fight for them. And I always tell them, when I leave, I will get over you.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
And like, no one ever listens to me.
Correct. Yeah.
Before, like, no one ever believes you. Because I am not that kind of person that will do on and offs. Mm-hmm. I did that once.
Oh, no, thank you. That's exhausting and draining.
Exactly. So I like literally force my heart to get over someone. Wow. And it's, if some people want to call it heartless, sure. But it's because I love myself so much more than I will, than you deserve my love, that I will love you really hard. But if you are going to disappoint me and not fight for me the way I will fight for you, then I will get over you and I won't look back. Yeah. And I've done that with every one of my ex, never listened to me. And I move on.
Amen. Amen.
It's like you literally that moment where it's not, I don't hate them, I don't love them, I'm indifferent.
Yes.
So.
Dang.
Are you ever like that?
I've learned that the hardest lesson for me is to accept that it's over. I will continue to fight. I do have this inner critic inside of me that's like, well, try again, Kevin. Oh, maybe you should send some flowers, or maybe you should send that text, or, you know, that, and it keeps coming back up. And I have to learn to really quiet that voice, because I know deep down what the right decision is, that maybe that relationship is actually over and I should move on. But I really have to learn that inner critic is just like trying to scream at me, and I got to calm that girl down.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, why? What am I doing wrong? Like, am I so unlovable that even this person can't love me?
Yes.
And especially I have abandonment issues growing up, so I know that's where it comes from. But I've learned that trying to control someone and forcing them to love you is not love.
Correct. Yeah. You cannot force someone to be in a relationship if they're not ready.
No.
And you just got to like read the signs, you know? I do feel a lot of my other friends who are prime examples of healthy relationships, it looks so easy, you know, or it feels like they're in that honeymoon phase for a very long time.
Yeah. And even if they fight towards the goal of making up. They don't fight against each other.
Correct. Correct. Let's learn about these differences we have, but then our goal is definitely a healthy relationship.
Yeah. And like I said, like, why should I be sad because someone doesn't want me? Because you know what? Like, I fucking want myself.
Amen.
And that's good enough.
I love that.
Yeah. And if you put in the same effort into getting over someone that you did into trying to make that relationship work, you would already be over it by
now. Amen. Yeah. You would be on to the next thing, looking, loving yourself more. Yeah. And looking for a new relationship.
And I don't say don't cry. Like, I don't allow them to know that they broke me or that they hurt me. I mean, maybe I'll express this is like hurting me or I just want you to love me. Like, I do say things like that, that sometimes I'm like, oh, whatever, I'm such a romantic. But I don't let them know like, oh, I'm crying because of you. You know, I don't post about it.
Yes.
It's like literally like I'm grieving the death of someone.
Correct. Correct. It is. You're letting go of something that was very close to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Or, and especially like as usual for me, the potential. And
yes.
I'm grieving, like I'm crying. I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm crying, but I give myself 2 days to do it.
Yeah, you have to. You have to get that out.
Yeah, the first day is the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
Even if like it's someone that I just talked to a minute, if I felt like a connection with them, especially there's some people I just feel a soul connection with.
Yes.
So those are the hardest for me to let go. So I will literally wake up in the middle of the night crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take it all in. I'll deal with it. The second day, it gets a little easier. And then the third day, I'm just like,
you're like, okay.
Yeah. It's like I'm on speed of going through a breakup. But it works.
Like, you know the process and you're just like, I'm going to go through it.
Exactly.
That's what I got to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I randomly, while I was driving in my brain, I was like thinking of like little quirky poems. I'm like, roses are dead, violets are too. I guess now that we're done, so is my love for you. And I was like, V, shut the fuck up. Yeah. What's wrong? Like, who are you sending this to?
You can send them to me.
Why are you so dramatic? But yeah. Hey guys, stopping this really fun little podcast with one of our sponsors, Modern Fertility. So if you're like me and you're not pregnant yet, and you want to figure out how to have children, or just if you're fertile or anything like that, I want to tell you a little more about Modern Fertility. We're always sitting there thinking about our next step when it comes to our careers and relationships, but what about planning for a baby? It's never too early to start, in my opinion. My biological clock is ticking, so I'm assuming yours is too. So if you want more information about your ability to get pregnant, you should definitely check out Modern Fertility. It's a quick and easy hormone test. I even took it recently and I talked about it in one of my other podcasts. You can take it home, whether you're thinking of trying for a baby now or you just want to know your options for the future. You can even take it if you're on birth control, which I am, and it helps you with figuring other things about yourself, like if you're fertile and other things like that. You can also talk to one-on-one with a fertility nurse if you have any questions, or use the timeline tool to plan ahead. And then your results are delivered within 10 days. It costs about like thousands of dollars, and you have to have health insurance in order to talk to a doctor about all of these things. But the cool thing about Modern Fertility is that you can get the same information for just $159. So right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off of the test when you go to modernfertility.com/violet. So once again, that's $20 off of your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/violet. That's modernfertility.com/violet to get $20 off of your $159 packet. So definitely check it out and let me know what you guys think. Bye. One thing to give someone hope when they go through a breakup is that you just got to remember, like, for you to be able to offer someone else so much love, even though they didn't want to take it, like, for you to still have all that love inside of you, that's like, that makes you so special. So many people don't even have that type of love that you have.
Correct.
So someone else is going to be so lucky to be able to get all this love that you have to offer.
Yeah, it's special. It's one of a kind. It doesn't exist anywhere else, that special love that you can give someone.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, guys, really quick, by the way. So I don't know if you noticed, but the stalking, the Instagram following tab is gone.
Correct. It's gone. It's no more.
How do you feel about it?
On one side of me, it was something that I didn't use too often, but it was fun to like go on it every now and then and then see that all my friends are just as thirsty as I am because they would look, I would be like, oh, literally they would just like hot guys' photos. Like five photos in a row. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I know what you like on Instagram.
I mean, I was using it more to stalk guys I was talking to. But I swear, I feel like as disappointed as I am that the following tab is gone, I feel like A, that helped me move on way faster.
Yes.
And because I think it was like kind of really bad for my mental health.
Yeah.
It's like I would purposely look and I would hurt myself by seeing, and I would make up scenarios in my head of why whatever guy I'm talking to liked this girl's picture, even if it's like his cousin.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Because it's like maybe they're third cousins and they're actually
and
secretly
they could do
hooking
something. The thing is, it wasn't really beneficial, in my opinion.
No.
It didn't really add to
the
like
stalking
anything.
It was.
Yes, it made stalking easier.
Yeah.
But it didn't, for your own like personal benefit, it wasn't, in my opinion, the best.
Yeah, so as upset as I am, I feel like in a weird way, it's better for my mental health.
Yeah.
But I also did this thing, stalking-wise, where I would see, this is so embarrassing, not that I've done it, but this is advice for other people. They're crazier than me. I'm not crazy. I'm too tired to be crazy.
Amen. Amen.
But if I did do this, here's a little advice. There's also this thing where you used to be able to go on someone's the tab who they follow.
Correct.
And it'll show right away the most recent person they followed would be at the top of the list.
Yes.
And that changed up too ever since following tab like went away. That also changed and now it's scattered. So you also have no idea to see if a guy you're talking to, if he's following a bunch of like naked girls or whatever, like you won't know. So I figured out a way around that part.
Ooh, Detective Nancy over here.
Not that I'm crazy or anything, but I came up, figure out a new way. So if you want to figure out if you're a man or any guys you're talking to, all five of your boyfriends, if they're following new girls, what you can do is you go on your laptop. If you go on your laptop, log on to Instagram and click on who they're following on the tab on your laptop. That will show you at the top the most recent people they followed. So that way you can always know if they followed any new Instagram girls.
Girl, you cracked the code.
Just for that one.
Okay. That's like the only thing on Instagram that's like chronological, I feel, the last person they followed.
Yeah, but even that changed.
Oh,
but you can still figure that out if you go on the laptop.
Gotcha. You heard it here, guys.
I hope
go
no
try
one
it at
ever
home.
Talk to sees this. Well, I hope they do. I hope they do see this and hear this. Don't follow anyone.
You need to know. Yeah.
Only follow me and my family.
For real.
You don't got to follow
anyone
else. Why you got to want to look at anyone else's beautiful face when you can look at my own beautiful face?
The only thing you need.
Get out of here.
The only content.
Yeah. My face is the only content you need, baby.
Amen. So one question we have next is, can you be friends with an ex?
I feel like... personally, no, unless that ex is from years ago and that was like your first relationship and you've been through 3-4 other relationships and you're not best friends with them, because I just don't see, me personally, why do you need to revisit the past? You both have grown up since and you're two different people. I feel like the only reason people are sometimes friends with their exes is to have the open place for a potential fuck buddy or possibly getting back together in the future.
Oh, that's real. That's right? Super real. Yes.
There's no reason, especially if you're in a serious relationship, there's no reason for you to be besties with one of your exes.
Exactly.
That's a red flag in my opinion. You can be friends with them, like cordial. They'll text you once in a while. That's fine. Yep. I'm not talking about they're like, oh yeah, let's grab coffee. Let's hang out. It's like, no, you're sucking that guy's dick.
Yep.
You guys are talking behind your back.
Or you both feel there's a potential to have it rekindle in some way. So.
And if you keep holding on to other people from your past, you will never be able to move forward in your current relationship.
Guys. If you are still talking to your ex, in my opinion, there's some leftover feelings that or unresolved feelings that you really need to address.
Yeah.
Because it's holding both of you guys
back. No matter how much you pretend like it's not, subconsciously, it's holding you back.
Correct. Amen.
Amen.
I don't think I can be friends with my ex. No, thank you.
I don't care about any of my exes. Oh my God, this guy that I texted, it's been almost an hour now since he responded to that one text to me, and I'm gonna kill myself. As I'm telling him, I'm be a badass bitch. Like, he didn't respond to my text. I'm gonna kill myself.
It's,
it's fine.
It's a valid emotion. Our next question. How do you not bring old scars from the past relationships into new ones?
Okay, in my opinion is that that's the worst thing that you can do. And I feel like a lot of people do that and they always make an excuse where they think their new partner should forgive them for this. And they're like, well, my ex cheated on me, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, bitch, don't get into a new relationship before you first do the self-work on yourself. Because the people you're dating, the new people, they don't deserve to be punished for something they've never done before.
Yes.
So if you're bringing these old scars and you expect everyone to be understanding, I feel like it's very selfish because why are you putting that person through all the tests that you didn't put your ex through? Like, why are you making them miserable? Why are you're ruining the relationship before it even started? I think that was kind of my issue with my last person where it was constant insecurities and worries and it was making me insecure. Mm-hmm. And there was no reason to be worried about me because I wasn't that person's ex.
Yeah.
But I was constantly being compared to the ex and it takes a toll on me because I don't deserve that.
Oh, so it's from the other side where they kept putting their old scars onto you.
Exactly. Yes.
Wow.
So, and I know it wasn't on purpose. And it's not their fault, but then it was right. Like they weren't ready. But like I'm lucky enough where my person was mature enough to let me go. And I am thankful in that part. I'm not bitter about it at all because I think that's good. That person saying, you know, deep down inside, I feel like I'm not ready for anything right now. And I was like, thank you. Yeah. I literally said, thank you so much because I tried and now I know I can move on.
Nice. That honesty, I told you, someone being upfront and honest with their feelings helps you process everything better. Hey, you're not ready for a relationship? Bomb. Thank you for letting me know.
Exactly. You can't, again, you can like get mad at that person or cuss them out. Even if you want to, when they're being completely honest with you, just be thankful because another person could have just lingered it on for longer, you know?
Yeah. What did you do when you realized that person was projecting their old insecurities from their last relationship onto you?
It was making me bitter, which is hard because my personality, I mean, I am very understanding and I go to therapy and this podcast is like therapy, but I'm only human.
Correct.
So I'm like an Aries Scorpio mixed together.
Ooh.
So I'm like, I'm a Scorpio, but the rest of my signs are fire and some air. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's hard for me to see things from the outside, especially because I don't talk about it with other people, which I should. I don't process it well. So then I was just getting bitter because I like this person so much. And it was hard for me to understand why they're not seeing it from my perspective or why they keep doing it because it was slowly making me insecure.
Yeah.
And one thing I don't appreciate anyone doing is making me insecure.
Yeah, because you start to doubt yourself.
Yeah, and I was doubting myself and I felt so unlovable in so many moments. And I was more sad than happy most of the time when I was talking to this person. That sucks because that guy is such a great guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm a great girl.
Yeah.
And it sucks that two people that liked each other and two good people weren't able to make it work or bring in toxic behaviors towards one another. Mm-hmm. I think that was really sad. So I don't want to get sad though. It's always like lessons. I don't know what this lesson was anymore because I'm over it.
Yeah.
Move on. I'm sure it was some lesson.
We don't have to revisit it.
Nah.
Cool. So our next question from our listeners is how to stay grateful for what you have when you keep wanting more.
Okay, so one thing I do to stay grateful for what I have instead of always wanting more. Because of course, I have so many moments where I just want more and I'm comparing myself to other people. But what I do is you have to stay humble. So either make a list of everything you're thankful for, mm-hmm. or make a list in your head. And it's like the most basic things too. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I have a roof over my head. I have food inside my belly, so I'm not hungry. I have people that love me. Like, always remember that people love you, because sometimes I think it's so easy to feel like you have nothing or no one cares about you. It's this weird way where we knock ourselves down even more, because pity loves company. So it's almost like we enjoy feeling sorry for ourselves.
Yes,
and
yes. There's a part of us that like that feels some kind of joy in feeling really sad.
Yeah, and it makes us feel safe in a weird way to be in our pittiness.
Yes.
So what I do to be grateful for what I have is, and again, like, I don't know if anyone's like me, I'm not even that religious, but I do believe in God. And what I do is I just close my eyes and I pray. And when I pray to God, I always just say everything I'm thankful for. Mm. And that always brings me to tears or makes me feel something, because it reminds me how good I have it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing, because a lot of times when we pray to God or when we're asking for things, we're always like, please God, can you do this for me? Can you do that? And it's like, it's such a humbling experience to just close your eyes and be like,
thank you.
Hey God, I don't want anything from you. I just want to thank you. And then you just list things that you're thankful for.
What are some of the things you list out? Is it stuff from like superficial stuff, like, oh, thanks for that car, thanks for this, or is it a little more deep where it's like, oh, thank you for the friendships that I have, thank you for these opportunities?
Imagine,
you know?
I'm like, dear God, thank you for giving me long lashes
thank
and
you.
Beautiful green eyes.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving me triple D tits, because I get free stuff, lol. Also,
thanks for all of the followers you've given me.
It's love amazing. It. Thank you for giving me like 50,000 likes on my picture yesterday. Oh, I appreciate you. It. No, it's more like I start to think about, I'm always super thankful that my parents are still healthy, because I always get worried and nervous.
Yes.
It's like the scariest thing when your parents start to get older, because suddenly you come to the realization that they may not be around forever.
Yeah.
So that fear, I'm always fearful of it, because I don't have that much family. So like losing any family that I have, it will break my heart. So I'm thankful that they're healthy. And I'm thankful that, you know, my sister's around and then she's so amazing. And then I'm thankful for my niece. So it's more like things like that. And I'm still thankful that God has given them, my whole family, good opportunities. And then I'm thankful for having the opportunities that I do in the US. I'm thankful for no longer being depressed. I'm thankful for another day that I get to wake up and I get to get out of bed. Like even I'm even like touched by it, like talking about it right now, which I said I won't cry, so I won't. But like even me talking about it reminds me how thankful I should be.
Gotcha.
So things like this are so much bigger than these smaller things. And I'm thankful that I have people that love me, even though sometimes I feel like I don't. Mm-hmm. It's because I'm pushing people away, because I just want to feel sorry for myself. So when you open your eyes, you realize people do love me. Like, people do care about me. Like, I'm not alone in this world.
And that's beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Ugh, I love it.
Thanks for sharing. Oh my God.
Stop.
Oh.
You just have to say that.
Oh, no.
But if you're like, that is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard.
I can't believe you said that to my face. I have to leave right now. Oh. Okay, Violet. What is the craziest thing you've ever done?
Okay, this is actually really crazy. Question.
I'm ready.
It's batshit crazy. It's actually so embarrassing. I've never told this to anyone. So it's that crazy.
I'm ready.
Hey guys, me again. Just quickly wanted to tell you of our other sponsor, which is BetterHelp. If you're like me and you just got dumped and you're super depressed, or you didn't get dumped, but there's something that's interfering with your happiness and preventing you from achieving your goals, or just smiling throughout the day or being more positive, BetterHelp online counseling is there for you. You can basically connect with professional counselors in a safe and private online environment. There's over 3,000 US licensed therapists across all 50 states. It's available worldwide. And these licensed professional counselors specialize in depression, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem, trauma, sleeping, relationships, anxiety, and anything else that you need to talk about. They're there for you. And everything that you share is confidential. If for any other reasons you're not happy with the counselor you're paired up with, they will give you a different one. So that's a really cool thing about it. And there's also financial aid that's available for those who qualify. Quick reminder, though, it is not a crisis line. So if you are going through something that you don't think BetterHelp can help, definitely reach out to a crisis line. This is not a crisis line. But if you're feeling like there's something interfering with your happiness, or you just need more reasons to smile and you just need someone to talk to and you feel like your family and your friends can help and you can't afford a therapist, BetterHelp is for you. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option, especially for all my Too Tired to Be Crazy listeners. You can now get 10% off of your first month with discount code VIOLET. So definitely start today if you haven't already. Go to betterhelp.com/VIOLET using my discount code VIOLET for 10% off of your first month. All you have to do is fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs, and then you get matched with a counselor that you'll love. So once again, that's betterhelp.com/VIOLET for 10% off of your first month. So once again, that's betterhelp.com/VIOLET. It happened in fifth or sixth grade, maybe fifth grade. Okay, I'm just going to say it. Okay, it happened in fifth grade and I really liked this boy, but I felt kind of invisible because I wasn't like cool or popular yet. It was, and I was still going through my puberty changes and all that. And if you guys listen to my birth defect episode, you'll know how insecure I was growing up. And I really liked this boy who thought I was invisible. So one night I went home. And
sorry, so I'm giggling.
Okay, one night I went home and I don't know if I printed out his picture or like I had it from like some school yearbook that we had. So I took his picture and I started to cast a spell. I started to cast a spell about wanting this boy to notice me, to like me. His name was Eli. I still remember. Okay. And then I took a string, like I think that you can tie like gifts with. And I, as I was saying the spell of like making Eli love me or like me, I started to wrap the string around the picture. And then I set the picture on fire and I threw it in the trash until it completely burned. Okay. And it was like a spell for him to fall in love with me.
What?
I'm not lying. The next day I show up to school. We had a school trip that day. The next day I show up to school. Before I walk into my classroom, he walks in front of me and he says my name. Hey, how are you? I really want to see you. And I'm not kidding. I didn't even think he even knew my name. So that was the weirdest thing. He was like, I've been looking for you. You're like where have you been? Blah, blah. And he's like, he knows my name. He's talking to me. And I was just like, is this actually working?
Like what?
And then we went on the school trip and it was an overnight school trip.
Ooh.
And then he was hanging out with me. Me tried to try to be around me the whole time. And he's a very popular kid who I didn't even think knew I existed. So I have no idea why this happened. And he was a very popular kid. He was with me the whole time in the school trip to the point that it went from adoring me to obsessive.
What?
So then it came to the point that at nighttime when we were in our cabins and I was obviously with a bunch of girls, he was outside the cabin and he started to knock on the door asking me to come out. And it got to the point that I was mortified because he started like shouting.
What?
And knocking on the door really, really strong, like, let me in, Violetta, like, hello, listen to me. And it was honestly crazy. And I was mortified and it was waking up all the other girls in the cabin. They were like, what the hell? Like, can you go talk to him? And I was already scared for my life. So it literally felt like a movie where you cast a spell and it goes from, because you can't
from
cast love
100.
Spells. This is why they say you can't cast love spells. So it went from zero to obsession. So when I walked outside, then I had to, we finally talk and we sat down and he like kissed me. So technically it was my first kiss, but I only did it because I was scared.
Yeah, you didn't do it willingly.
I let him kiss
him so he could go away.
Yeah, and I don't think I ignored him for the rest of the time I lived in the US while I was going to school there. But that was the one and only time I ever cast, quote unquote, a love spell.
Oh my God.
But it felt like it worked, but it could have been because I manifested it.
Probably. I mean, that was like manifesting it in your head as well as doing like a ritual or a practice.
Yeah, I don't recommend anyone to go home after listening to this and be like, all right, and they set their house on fire and I get sued for like starting it up like a wildfire somewhere in LA because they were trying to cast a spell on their lover.
What? Wait, where did you learn this from? Was there a book or did you go online?
I must have gone online or something. I was in like fifth, sixth grade, so I don't know how I even knew this, but it felt like it worked. I mean, literally a guy who was super popular, could have anyone, didn't even know I existed, was like obsessed with me the next day.
Yes.
And like knew my name and everything. Isn't that weird?
What? I'm so oddly like intrigued by this. Like,
you're going to go home.
And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have Nick Jonas become obsessed with me. That's what's going to happen. Can you believe? Sorry. Nick Jonas is like my ultimate.
That is so funny. Yeah, so that happened.
Okay.
I don't recommend it, but it felt like it worked.
Do you still know where this boy is? Is he, or do you still like keep in touch with him? No, I'm assuming.
Literally, no. I mean, it got scary. I remember I was like, scared for my life.
Oh my God.
How weird is that to go from someone thinking you're invisible and in one day for them to be so obsessed with you?
Yeah.
It was
that's
like
a lot. That's a lot for fifth grade.
But it felt like it was a spell. Because it was like, be careful what you wish for.
Correct.
That's what they say when you wish for things. You have to be very, wait, I just said that's what they say. In Aladdin. In Aladdin, they say.
The classic tale Aladdin, you guys.
In Aladdin, they say, Will Smith in the recent movie. Mm-hmm. In the recent movie, he says, you have to be very specific what you wish for.
Correct.
So I think I wasn't specific enough probably with what I wish for with this guy. Because because when you think of love, you want him to be obsessed with you.
Yes.
And I got that.
Yep. You got what you wished for, girl.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was a crazy. I can't believe you cast a spell.
The next question is, I don't know, I feel like you may feel uncomfortable to ask it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people sometimes ask me, especially women, they ask me if I masturbate.
Okay.
Because I think it's still taboo with women, even though I feel like I've tried to help it and talk about me masturbating. And at first it was weird for me too.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, do I masturbate? Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Yes.
I do too.
How often?
To be honest with you, twice a day, probably. Like when you brush your teeth, once in the morning, once at night, you know?
Is it just because you're getting turned on by like your toothbrush, or is it because you're just like trying to like relieve some stress?
I think it's relieving stress. And then it's also one of those things, once you do it ritually, it's like normal, you know? Like it's like, yeah, just like brushing your teeth.
I wonder if fall guys masturbate like a few times a day.
Yes, I can guarantee you guys do it a lot, and more so than you think that they do. Yes.
Do you feel like you have to watch a porn or something? For me, I masturbate, like I'll think about my last lover and it'll just turn me on just like thinking about their face or like I imagine a scenario. And I literally come so fast when I masturbate.
Ooh. Like what is fast though? Within a couple
literally
minutes?
A minute or two. Probably less than 2 minutes. I can orgasm so fast.
That's cool. I mean, I love that. When did you
decide?
Is
it cool?
Yeah, no.
You love
it? I think girls need to be more open with it. Especially with my girlfriends and I, we really, really don't talk about our sex lives too much. Mm-hmm. But I think I need to learn more about the female body, you know? I think they do need to, like, I would love to learn more about like women's sexuality.
Why?
You know? Because it's just intriguing to me. It's just something that I just know nothing about. You know,
because like, where is the clitoris?
Yeah, like where is it? What does it do? How do we get to it? Do I need Google Maps? Like, you know, how do we get like
just in case it's like survival kit, just in case one day you may get in front of a vagina.
And I have
like,
to.
I'm prepared for this.
Yes.
Okay.
This is what I have to do. I feel like with guys, it's a very simple motion for what they need to do or what turns them on. With women, it's like more. It's more of a system. There's more steps to it, I guess. I don't know.
I think with women, for what turns them on is touch and like the love and all that, more than like some men think, which is just penetration.
Correct. Oh, well, that's what we learned from like porn, you know, it's like it's always like for the men to get off.
Yeah.
And then the woman like is just there.
It's like no girl wants like a jackrabbit. Like that's not what turns me on. Like when I'm imagining like an ex-lover, I'm imagining them like saying specific words to me or like kissing my neck or like staring me in the eyes.
Okay.
And like things
like a specific
that.
Moment of what happened.
Yeah, or I'm making up a scenario in my head.
Yes.
And like that really turns me on. I literally come in like 2 seconds.
Okay, fantasy is hot. I love that.
Yeah. So that's like, then it also helps me sometimes. I'm like, do I miss this person? And then I masturbate and then I'm like, oh, no, not anymore. Back to work.
You're like, now I can get my coffee.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things too where it's like, it's in your head and it's like, do I really miss that person or am I just horny and I need to get it out of my system?
Yeah. You got to also notice the times you're missing someone. Like if you only miss someone at nighttime, it means that you're just lonely or horny. But if you miss people during the day or it's like when something good happens and you want to tell them, that's when you know it's more meaningful than it is when you're missing them at 2 a.m.
Interesting. Because usually that's when I do miss most of like my past relationships.
Me too. And that's usually when you're like lonely or you want to cuddle or you want to have sex. It's those moments. It's like the specific times at night, like 2 to 4 or something. It's like you're the loneliest.
Yeah. And also the horniest.
Yeah. I bet there's like, there has to be some research about it.
Yeah. We should do that. We should explore that. We'll become scientists. The next question we have is, when you reach rock bottom, what do you do when you go, like, how do you get out of when you hit rock bottom emotionally?
I think it's you have to change your perspective. I feel like recently I felt like emotionally and mentally I hit rock bottom, and I was holding it all in. And like last night I finally talked to my mom about it, because I felt like sometimes you have to figure out where you feel everything, because we think it's only inside us, but it's like it's a physical thing that's happening in your body too when you feel all the stress or when you feel rock bottom.
Yeah.
So I tried to understand where it's happening in my body. So I felt like this pit go from my stomach into my chest.
Wow.
But then when I talked it out and I finally let it out, I let it go, it went like throughout my whole body, and I almost felt this like relief.
Wow.
It was like a stress orgasm.
Ooh, we need to release more of those.
No, it's important if you really start to notice where your anger, your sadness, your love, your stress comes in your body.
Yeah.
It'll help you be able to release it faster. So I think if you change your perspective about quote unquote hitting rock bottom, that really helps. So you have to change your perspective, and instead of being like, I can't get out of this, you have to look at it like, well, now that I reached rock bottom, there's only up from here. Mm-hmm. And that means like, yeah, and that means that you've literally now faced the hardest moment, the hardest part, and now it can only get better. So once you get that, I think it kind of makes life a little bit easier, because now you know there's only to go up, and you've suffered through the hardest pain.
Gotcha.
And you survived it. Yeah. And when it comes to hitting rock bottom, when it comes to relationships, anything that breaks your heart and makes you feel like, or depression, anything like that, you have to remind yourself, and I do that with myself, it's like us humans are more resilient than we think. Our hearts, our physical self, like everything, we're way more resilient than we believe we are. And we're way stronger than we think we are. And now you always have to remind yourself, if you manage to survive all these other moments, you managed to survive like way worse things in the past, you will survive whatever it is you're going through.
Nice, nice. Do you feel it's like a physical feeling you feel when you feel this stress release coming out?
Yes, but it's something you have to work through.
Okay.
Like it's something that my therapist one time said to me about when I was angry or feeling sadness or whatever, and he said, where are you feeling it? Because you feel in different places. Like my anger was in my stomach, and then my anger was in my chest boiling up, and then my sadness was in my stomach because of like my heart dropped.
Yeah.
And like once I managed to pinpoint where those moments are coming from, it's almost like I'm able to release them. Because when you're feeling pain or stress or whatever, and you don't know, you can't put a marker on it, like where it's coming from, I think it's harder to let it go. So first you have to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then if you literally are like, it's almost like if you feel like there's a spider somewhere in the room. Once you find the issue, the spider, you can get rid of it. So it's like the same thing. I think it has to do with your mental state.
Mm-hmm.
So in your brain, if you can figure out where it's coming from, you can get rid of it.
Dang.
So it may not even be true that you're actually feeling it physically, but it's almost like my mental state now is that I will feel anger, pain, sadness, frustration, stress physically.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I feel it physically, I can figure out how to dissolve it from my body.
Yeah, it's kind of like a tool to really visualize where your pain is coming from.
Yeah, I bet this is like a real like helpful like therapy counseling type of like thing.
Yes,
people should try out.
Totally, totally.
So next time you feel sadness or anything, try to locate where you feel it in your body.
Ooh, like check in and be like, where is it actually coming from?
Yeah.
And then just identify
it. And you'll figure it out. Like even the stress, how I was able to describe the stress went from my stomach to the pit of inside my heart.
Yeah.
And it was just boiling up. And I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown.
Gotcha.
As I talked about with my mom, I literally felt the release all over my body. And I was like, I felt like tingling on my body.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, it's syphilis.
No. I was like, girl, you need a shot for that.
Yeah, check. But no, I felt like the tingling, and like it left my body.
Nice.
And I felt better.
So it was like a tingle, and then
I felt like on my arms and like on my arms, and it was like going from my chest down to my body. Yeah. And it was, and then first a tingle, and then it was gone.
Yeah, I think for me too, it's like whenever I feel some sort of anxiety, I feel it a lot in my head. Like as we're talking about this now, I'm starting to realize a lot of my anxiety is all here, and then my face sometimes gets like tingly. So it's like once the anxiety is gone, everything starts to like disappear. But exactly. I learned something today.
No, it's once you realize it and you process it in your head, you're literally, it's almost like it's a weird placebo effect or something to make you get rid of it. Because you get rid of the quote unquote physical pain, so you get rid of the mental pain.
Yeah, yeah, totally. We're going to move on to some cute listener questions. This first one is from Acing Myself. Violet, How do you get yourself busy and preventing yourself from talking to your favorite toxic person?
Talking to someone else. Yeah. After I was like, don't get under someone else. Well, the way you can keep yourself busy and avoid talking to your favorite quote unquote toxic person is you have to really do research within yourself to figure out like why you're so drawn to toxic people. It's either you have those toxic, it's either you're projecting, so it's a mirror of yourself, so you're actually secretly toxic as well, and that's why you're so drawn to it. Mm-hmm. You could also be a very empathic person, which I'm like that, so I feel everything. So toxic people and empathic people tend to be drawn to one another because you take on their emotions, they feel better, and then you just live in like sadness.
Yeah.
Sometimes you enjoy,
because it's all on you now.
Exactly. And we always want to save people. And like the reason I feel like sometimes we're so drawn to toxic relationships is because we grew up thinking that all these fairy tales don't happen so easily. And it's like you have to fight for your love.
Yeah.
So we grew up thinking that in order to be loved, you have to fight for it and people have to fight for you. And it's ups and downs because like everyone's favorite people, for example, Gossip Girl, the favorite couple is Chuck Bass and Blair.
Yeah.
Everyone looks at it like it's a fairy tale, when in reality, he treated her like shit. He sold her one time. Well, he literally did something where he gave money in order for her to have sex with like his cousin or whatever. He like auctioned her. I forgot what it was. But then because he's troubled, he loves her, but he's struggling on the inside. And it's like, oh, poor rich guy has a few little white rich guys, little struggles. Like, I feel so bad for you. And we're all rooting for them to make it work. We don't realize that it's bad. Or Sex in the City, which I know you don't watch.
Yeah.
We've talked about that. Like Sex in the City, Carrie Bradshaw and Big, they're the biggest love story.
Yeah.
But he treats her like shit most of the time. And then we're all rooting for them to end up together. And then when they end up together, that's like our love story. And that shouldn't be our love stories.
Yeah.
And that's why we end up like being so drawn to toxic people, because we think love means fighting for each other and like constantly proving your love to one another. It's not true. Like love is being comfortable with each other and like not feeling every 2 seconds where you're not sure if that person loves you. Like that, what kind of love is that?
Yeah, that sounds very draining and very exhausting.
It is draining, but it's like there's something about, because the lows are so low, the highs are so high.
Yeah.
And you become addicted to it.
Yeah, it's very extremes, you know?
Like, I love that with, like, my last guy. And we were both not toxic people, but we both had a lot of pretty toxic traits with one another. So people don't realize that you don't have to be toxic to exhibit toxic traits.
Yes.
You can still be a great person, but some certain things will bring out the worst in you.
Yeah, it could be your environment or your friendships that you're surrounding yourself with.
Exactly. So suddenly you, and like, I love a good high and low, or like even Euphoria. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves to hate Nate, but everyone also in a weird way loves Nate because he's troubled.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I can fix him.
Yes, yes.
His girlfriend, like he literally chokes her, and we still look at it like love. Or Big Little Lies, that relationship, I forgot their names at this point, but there's that one abusive, physical abusive relationship where the guy is so hot, it's almost hard to hate him.
Yeah.
But he beats the shit out of his wife and you get confused because, and even they show her perception, which is, I thought it was really great. The writing behind it was so good because it shows what it's like to be in an abusive relationship where it's not that easy to walk away.
Yeah.
So even when they're over, or like she knows she needs to leave, she'll sit there and she'll fantasize about their moments where they get rough and then they fuck, because there's a part of her that's so drawn to it.
Yes, yes.
You know?
She's used to that cycle. She's used to having this over and over again. You know?
And you have to kind of, so I think that's when you sit there and you have to understand, why is this love? Like, why do I think this is the type of love that I deserve? Because as long as you believe that these are the types of ways that you deserve love, it's not going to end with your last toxic person. This cycle will continue with every other person you continue to date, because you will keep looking for that exact type of love.
Yes, 100%.
So it's only once you realize the type of love you're looking for, you will project that type of love into your next relationships. And if you don't love yourself, you won't be able to really find someone who will understand how to love you, in my opinion.
Amen. The last person we do is always love ourselves. Like, we always put ourselves last. It's very,
so true.
It's very natural for some of us to like put ourselves last out of everything, whether it is to like eat or take care of our, you know, others. So,
yeah, because if you really loved yourself in those moments where you feel like you lose yourself in a relationship, you wouldn't put up with half the things you put up with.
Yes.
And then people in the future will know that they can't mess with you the way past relationships did.
Amen. Man. Okay. That was a great question. Our next question comes from Cheryl Hansen. I'm broken from so many things. How do you open your heart again?
So sad.
Yes.
I'm going to cry. Why do I feel everything? I literally don't know her and I want to cry for her.
We feel for you, Cheryl. I feel I've been broken from so many things. I think we need to kind of pinpoint like why you feel the failure and where it's coming from. Is it from a relationship? Is it from career? Is it from friendships?
Well, sometimes, you know how they say, when it rains, it pours. So I think when you feel the one bad thing, you start to think that you're failing in everything. I know that's how I do it. Yeah. I think I'm failing in everything. If one thing doesn't work out and this thing, then this thing, then this thing.
Yeah.
It sucks. I mean, same thing with good things. When one good thing happens, it feels like a lot of good things are happening. So, you know, first of all, there's nothing wrong with being broken. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I was broken for so many years, and being broken is still beautiful. Like you can break anything and still make it find beauty in it. Mm-hmm. And once you realize that everyone else is broken and like you can learn from your wounds and you can heal from them, you can only keep growing from that.
Yeah.
Just like learn how to love yourself as a quote unquote broken person. But like I used to look back at some things that I used to write about like feeling insecure, me feeling like I'm broken, so no one's gonna want this broken thing. And now when any male or anyone tries to make a joke about me, like, I'll love you even if you're broken, it's like, fuck no, I'm not broken at all. Like I'm mm-hmm. so whole. Me being broken makes me as whole as I am today.
Yes,
like I'm insanely whole.
Yes.
With all my flaws.
Yes.
It makes me even better. So I know I'm not a broken person. So it's kinda, I think it's hard though to keep growing and to figure out how to love yourself, but like you can do it.
Yeah.
And being broken is not the end of the world. Yeah. We all are.
Yeah. What really resonated with me when you said that was just like, we all have been there, you know, and it's okay to be broken. And I think one thing being broken is also temporary, you know,
exactly.
Because we can always, I think you got to find the tools to fix yourself, whether it is through therapy or talking about it or, you know, talking about with your friends, listening to like cute little podcasts like this one.
Too hard to be crazy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
But like also don't feel like you're too broken for someone.
Mm.
If you're feeling broken, make sure you're feeling broken for yourself and you want to fix it with yourself because you want to be happier. Don't ever feel like you're too broken for someone else and that's why they're not with you, because a lot of times that's our perception, or like, oh, I'm too broken, that's why I don't want to go out, and I'm too broken, that's why my lover's not with me and I can't get this job. It's like, that just all wasn't meant for you. That has nothing to do with you being broken. You could be completely whole and that lover will still not want you because you guys are just not the right people for each other.
Yeah. Well, thanks for writing in, Cheryl. Our next question we have is, when do you stop seeing someone if it isn't progressing into something serious?
I think you realize that it's the end when you start to feel like you're putting a more effort than they are. Mm. You start to feel like there's moments where if you start to think that if you don't text them or call them, you'll never hear from them again. That's already a red flag because that means they're losing interest. If you guys are fighting more than you're happy together, because I remember one of my podcasts, there was a discussion where you need like 4 or 5 good interactions per every bad one. I think 5. You need 5. Research found that you need 5 good interactions for every bad one in order to have a healthy relationship, whether it's friendship or dating. So if you start to have more negative interactions with a person than your positive ones, or you're not hitting the 5 positive interactions, that means something's wrong.
Gotcha. Because it would be too weird if everything is just constantly good.
No, everyone fights. It can make people stronger.
Yeah.
It depends on the fights, but I think that's how, and the last but not least, one thing everyone's too scared to do is have a conversation.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Talk about it. Like, where is this going?
Yeah.
Are we going anywhere? Because I know all these like dating book advices are always like, play the game. Don't say anything.
Yeah, and then you're numbers game.
Yeah. And then you're playing the game for 5 years. You're dating someone. Then you find out 5 years later, they were never looking to get married. And you're like, wait, what? And they're like, I don't believe in marriage. I mean, you never asked me.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, I wasted my youth on this.
Thank you.
Bye. So you gotta, I think after a certain point, you have to feel comfortable enough. You have to kind of bring it up. Even if it's uncomfortable, you have to have a conversation of, where do you see this going? What are we? Even if we're not anything right now, do you want to have a relationship in the future?
Yeah.
And then to make sure you guys are on the same page, whether it's a friendship or dating, or you guys are just having sex, I think our biggest problem a lot of the time, we're just assuming things about one another.
Yeah, because we're all afraid to have that conversation about being vulnerable, whatevs. Well, this next question kind of segues from the last one, and it's, I really like this boy. How do I let him know that I like him without seeming annoying or clingy?
Suck his dick.
Ah!
I'm kidding. That's the way to go.
There you go, you guys. That's all. That's all. That's the only tip you need.
Wait, so how do I tell him that I like him without seeming clingy?
Correct.
Okay, so I hate that part where we feel like we have to hide ourselves, because eventually a person's going to see all your traits. And I understand maybe not to seem too clingy in the beginning or whatever, but if you are a clingy person, then you need to find someone who wants another clingy person, or someone that will make you feel constantly feel safe. I think it's silly where we do these things where we pretend to be someone else in the beginning of the relationship, because if you're a good match with someone, you guys will be going at the same pace. So to them, you won't be too clingy, because they will like how you're acting. And also, if they give you enough attention, you probably won't need to be overly clingy. If you think that you're clingy sometimes, it's just some bullshit thing that the last people you've dated made you feel, because they couldn't give you what you wanted, so they made you feel like it was your fault when it wasn't.
Yes, it's carrying on from the last relationship, those insecurities.
Exactly. Like, oh, I'm so clingy because I asked this guy to call me at least once a week. Yeah. It's like, bitch, you're not clingy. You literally ask someone to do the bare minimum.
Correct. That's reasonable. 1 week call, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes a partner, a girl or a boy, will make you feel like you're asking for too much. And it's like, no, they're just giving you too little.
Yeah.
And with the and don't pretend to be someone you're not. Like, you got to be yourself.
Yes, 100%.
Because at least if it doesn't work out with someone, you know it's because you were yourself and you guys weren't a match, versus it doesn't work out with someone because you're pretending to be someone else. And you always look back and you're like, what would they have liked the real me though?
Yeah. Oh my God, you're speaking to my heart. That was like my last one.
Aww, oh my thanks.
God. This one is from Kelsha, nope, I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce this name. So we're just gonna ask the question. Can girls make the first move?
Oh, 100%. I make the first move all the time. And I've even asked guys out before. I feel like there's something really sexy about confidence that I think throws guys off. And we just had that conversation where I was texting a guy and I was just like, life is good, but now that you know me, I bet life is even better. Yeah. And I think it throws people off because they're like, I like that confidence. I want to be around that. So it's like when you love yourself so much, they want to know what's your secret and they want to be around you.
Yeah. There's something very alluring and very attractive to someone who just, you know, walks down the street and is super confident. Like you can kind of tell.
Like if you want something, go after it and get it. Obviously, don't be too aggressive, whether it's a boy or a girl.
Yes.
Don't act too aggressive. Like if they say no, then like, you know, back off.
Yeah.
Like
no, bro.
Believe them.
Yeah.
Believe them. But I think there's nothing wrong with making the first move, whether it's just like a smile or DMing them or liking 75 of their pictures and commenting on each one. Like like maybe that's a little too far. Maybe only like 50 pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like make the first move. I've done it a lot of the time and I always, and then I back off once they know I'm interested, and then I let the man pursue me. Yeah. But I personally don't care about gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
I also like boys and girls, so that's my thing. But like, I don't, if I never knew
that. I know.
But like, I don't care about gender roles, so I don't care if I'm acting like more masculine in this moment because I'm hitting on the guy and he's supposedly, that makes him more feminine. Like, I don't believe in that shit.
Yeah.
I just do whatever I want in that moment. Yes. I'm impulsive. If I want you, like, you'll know.
That's hot. Yeah.
It is.
And who cares?
Like, I'm going to masturbate to this after.
You're going to go home. Yes.
V, you're so fucking hot. Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, I love that advice.
Ew, you know what's the grossest thing that grosses me out? If someone says instead of, I'd rather hear someone say masturbate than flick the bean. How gross is that?
Okay, I didn't know of that phrase until a couple years ago. Totally. And I was like, what bean? Like, why do you flick
it? I'm going to go home and flick the bean. I don't, whoever came up with that doesn't know how to masturbate properly.
I swear, a dude.
You don't flick anything.
There's no flicking at all.
Don't flick it. It'll
that
hurt.
Sounds painful. Okay, another second to last question is, how do I know when it's time to let a friend go? I feel so alone.
Oh, that breaks my heart. Oh my God, that's so sad. I think it's kind of like I said before, that you need 5 good interactions per every bad one. It's not just in dating and social and friendships, where it's really important to see how that person makes you feel. And I think it goes back to my podcast when it comes about toxic friendships. Look it up. Is that if you feel constantly drained after you just finish hanging out with them and you feel like you're putting in more work than they are, if you feel like it's always about them, never about you, if you feel like they're putting you down or they're not being supportive, there's a lot of signs that will tell you that it's time to let a friendship go. And I think the biggest mistake that we make is that, again, A, we don't believe that anyone else will like us, or we rather stay in a safe place where we have a friend that treats us like shit versus like letting them go and being okay on our own and finding new friends. Mm-hmm. And B, we believe that when you have a long-term friendship that it has to stay with you forever.
Yeah.
But the reality is that when you keep growing as a person, so is your friend.
Yes.
And it's okay if you guys grow apart. You don't have to save a relationship. It's okay if you best friends become acquaintances. It's not that abnormal. Everyone in their 20s loses a lot of friends, and everyone in their 20s always freaks out at first because they think there's something wrong with them.
Yep.
That they're suddenly not getting along with their friends. It's because it's like, no, it's normal. You guys are growing apart. Yep. That's not your friend anymore. You will meet new friends.
Yes. And we constantly evolve. I think it's always one of those things where, oh, we're growing apart. We used to see each other every day. Well, girl, that was high school. We had to see each other every
day. Exactly. It's like, exactly. And you have new responsibilities, and you can't get mad at your friends also for finding like a new love partner. Yes. Or getting busy with work, because that's part of life and you need to be happy for them.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for her that she said she feels so alone. That's why she's staying around a toxic friendship.
Correct.
But the thing is, when we surround ourselves with people who don't love us enough, that makes you feel even more alone than if you were alone. So like, remember that.
Yeah.
It's almost better if you were completely alone. You would feel less alone. Like, you don't want to be around people that make you feel alone.
Amen. Because you can be in an entire, like a crowded room, and then feel like no one can see you at the same time. But you can also feel alone. Like, I'm alone. Like, I live alone. I love it, honestly. And I feel completely fine. But I do have to do some work to get there.
And you know? I mean, I feel like a lot of times I let go of my toxic friendships. Even if we're both good people, we can be toxic to one another because we outgrew each other.
Yes.
And then I have moments where I forget about it and I go back to my friend because I feel guilty for letting them go. And every time it's the same lesson. Like, Viola, you're an idiot. You guys are not compatible friendship-wise and you guys need to keep each other at a distance. It's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for her.
Yeah.
So even if you feel alone right now, letting go, taking distance from your friend will be really helpful, and opening yourself up to other people will be also good. Like, put yourself out there.
Yeah.
People who are your acquaintances, suddenly ask them if they want to get coffee or go to the gym, like things like that. You may end up finding out that you have more things in common with new people than your old friend.
Nice. All right. So our last question for this episode is, how do you help a person you love recover from a bad relationship and a bad past?
Okay. So I'm going to tell you this right now. Stop fucking trying to save people.
Yeah.
It's not your job to save anyone. And it's the biggest mistake that I would say especially women, but I'm sure as a man, you go through it too. So people in general who love to nurture and all that, it's our instinct to want to take care of people and to help them. But A, stop helping people who are not asking for help. And B, it's not your job to save anyone. You got to figure out how to save yourself.
Amen.
And a lot of us think we were saved or whatever, but it's like every day is a battle to figure out a new way how to love yourself. And you got to continue working on it. And it's that person's job to save themselves. It is not your job. You will constantly feel like you're failing if you will go out of your way trying to save someone.
Yes. And it's also like, hello, when the plane is crashing, the instructions are to put on your safety mask first before you help others. Like, you can't help others if you can't help yourself first.
And I completely understand, because I put myself in that situation every single time. I always look at it, because I'm such a romantic, that I look in a way where I rather get my heart broken a million times by you than you getting your heart broken. But it's like, why do I fucking hate myself so much? Like, clearly I think I'm such a romantic, but really I'm just hurting myself, and I'm breaking my own heart so many times because we think it's so romantic. And in a weird twisted way, we feel like that person will love us so much more and will depend on us in a weird way because
you did all of that stuff.
But those people don't care, because especially if someone's really, really troubled, they don't see all the good that you're doing. And A, if you're doing it in the hopes that they'll notice, that's already a big red flag on your end, because don't do something in the hopes that someone's going to appreciate it. Like, you do it out of the goodness of your heart.
Yeah.
Like, don't expect anything back. And B, when someone's so troubled, they won't even notice that you're helping them, and they'll bring you down with them because misery loves company. And I've been in these relationships where I've given my all to try to make someone happy, and then it made me insecure. And even when we part ways, A, they never appreciated it. I get insecure. And then even when we part ways, I'm completely depressed because I took on all of their pain. And it's like, why? I worked so hard on myself to not be like this anymore. Now I'm back in the same place.
Yeah.
People have to work on themselves before they can get into a relationship. It's not, it's like, it's actually very selfish to depend on someone else to save you. I mean, even Will Smith said that, like, about his wife or about a partner, that like, she doesn't expect me to save her. Like, she has to save herself. And then we both love each other. Or we love ourselves first and then we can get together.
Yeah.
Stop trying to save other people. Focus on saving yourself. It doesn't make you selfish. It means that you're expressing then compassion and empathy and patience for yourself. And that's so much more important. Because in order for you to be strong for other people, you have to be strong for yourself and you have to be whole for yourself. And you'll never be fully whole if you're constantly trying to save everyone around you.
Amen.
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 Obviously, a healthy relationship, though, is you're helping one another.
Correct.
But she's talking about full on, like, someone, she's trying to make someone who really loves her, who's really broken. Yeah. She's trying to make that person, like, love her and by helping them. And I think in a weird way, that's also a little selfish.
Correct. Because you may not know what that person needs. Like, it is a little selfish thinking that you're the remedy sometimes.
Because you'll never be it and it'll just be a letdown. But also, I think a lot of times when we do that is because we want them then
to
depend on us and to love 100%. Us forever.
There's a part of them that really wants them we want to know that how much they like us, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, look how much I'm helping you. Like, they'll never appreciate it. Right. They have to do the process on their own. Like, no one can help them except themselves. If you don't want help, then no one will ever be able to help you.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So I think we're done, right?
Yeah. That was it for the questions. You can wrap it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy with me, Viola Benson. I know this episode was a little bit different in a way because it was more of a Q&A. Let me know if you enjoyed this type of episode or if you like more of a very focused type of episode like my other solo episodes. And if you have any questions, make sure to DM me at Viola Benson or at Too Tired to Be Crazy on Instagram. Make sure to leave me a 5-star review and any comments or anything. I'll really highly appreciate it. I love you guys so much. Thank you also for allowing me to have this open space to talk about everything and to, you know, believing in me so much. Like, you guys really make me feel so loved and I really appreciate everything. And like, I'm so thankful for this podcast and for all my listeners. So I appreciate you. And don't forget to love yourself. It's really important. You know, if you're trying to be, my last note would be, if you're trying to be a boss ass bitch, the way to start is by waking up and deciding to be a boss ass bitch and not asking for forgiveness for anyone for wanting to be yourself and being a boss ass bitch. So that's that. Let me know if you guys like Kevin.
Leave us some reviews.
And also this video will probably be up on YouTube too. So, love you guys. I see you next week. Bye.